Lights, camera, action. Would you all please stand? Morning, everybody. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. Amen. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He who by his sacrifice made our spirits free from blemish, so that we may be presented to the Lord, all we must do is continue in our faith. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. By dying for us, he became the beacon for all of us to follow to eternity with the Father. Who we pray to, he is who we emulate. His example shine for us to follow on this earth, all the way to heaven. Worship the Lord, O my soul. Worship him day and by night. In health and in weakness, wherever we are, whatever the circumstances, all we need is Jesus to pull us through and raise us up. Thank you. come before the altar of God and leave all of your sorrows and sins there. For God is waiting to take you to his kingdom. Jesus, the final sacrifice, laid down his life so that we may gain the inheritance that God wants us to have. Oh, come to the altar and realize that the love that God the Father has for you. Realize the love that God the Father has for you. The simple truth is the love of Jesus, that he loved us so much that he was reviled, tortured, and crucified so that we may join him in heaven. Believe in God. Believe in Jesus. Follow the way, capital W, follow the way. Repent. Live forever in the arms of God. Amen.
As you wait for the crown, tell the world of the treasure you found.
Amen. Won't you please be seated? All right. Please read with me, brothers and sisters. For it is by your grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one may boast. For we are God's, there we go. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen. You know, all praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Amen.
God made us what we are. No good deed will give us access to heaven. God gives us that saving grace.
Amen.
Justifying grace. By grace we are saved, not by anything we do, but by what he gives us in his mercy through faith. Sanctifying grace. Even our belief is a gift from God, so we cannot boast of our position as Christians. By the grace of God's love, we are welcomed into his holy family, and through faith, we will join him in heaven.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Good singing. You all get an A. If you want to be part of choir, see Sharon. We'll work in. It's good to have our guest here today. Well, we thank you for coming. And thank you all for being here. We're in a part of the service right now. I've got to ask Mary Lou to come back in. We're going to be welcoming a new member. Oh, she's here. Okay. Well, last I saw you were out there. So. If Sharon and Mary Lou would come up. I keep telling Pat Newell that in order for her to come into membership, she has to sing a solo. Oh, she's going to sing in the cantata. Okay, that's close enough. That's good. It's a pleasure to know Pat. I can tell you she's a student of the Word. She loves the Lord Jesus Christ. She has joined us in the Theological Roundtable up in Tom's River on Wednesdays. And she's just been a blessing to us all around. So I'm going to ask Pat to come up. We won't embarrass you. All right. This is Pat, in case you didn't know her name, okay? And I ask you to pray for Pat, all right? You all know that when Jesus prods us to take a step of faith, that Satan never wants it to happen, all right? And so Pat's taking this step of faith today to join with us. So pray for her. She also brings her own gifts to the church, and we need to come alongside of her and encourage her in those gifts. Just by her being here, many of us have been blessed, and we're excited to have her here. So as a church member, I usually, if it's somebody young, not young, but younger, I will say you have to wash my car once a week, but that doesn't matter. We are glad that you want to join this fellowship, and you bring to us something special. You bring who you are. Christ died for you, and you love him. I know you do. And so it is with great honor that we welcome you into fellowship. We're going to pray for you. Can we do that? Would you come over here? Don't trip on wires. Okay. See, over there, she's out of the camera, so. We're going to pray for Pat. I'll ask Sharon to pray, and then I'll pray also. Mary Lou, if you want to join in, that's up to you. Okay? Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time, this opportunity to invite to be part of our congregation here, of people who love you. We thank you for the testimonies that she's provided already, and we know, Lord, that you will in this future help her to bring her gifts to this body. Thank you, Lord, for her desire to be with us. In Jesus' name.
Father, you are awesome. You are wonderful. You brought Pat to us, and we're so grateful. We ask, Father, as we welcome Pat into membership, that you help us as a body encourage her, that we would come alongside her and help her to grow even more in the Lord. And so, Father, we commit her to you and thank you for her. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome, Pat, please. We can shake your hand. Welcome. Give you the right hand of fellowship. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Officially.
There you go. That makes it official. We're glad to have you. The corporate prayer today, we're going to do something a little bit different. Tomorrow at CHOP, is it? Beth Israel in Newark, right. Tommy's granddaughter, Lively, who was here a couple of weeks ago, is going to have open heart surgery. She has several holes in her heart, right? And they're Yeah, it needs to be done, sure. So I'm sure this is going to be a time of anxiety, you know. Yeah. Sure, sure. So you don't know what time yet she's going to surgery. All right. No problem. When you wake up tomorrow morning, remember to pray. Pray for Lively that everything goes well. I understand that these surgeries, you know, every surgery has risk. However, you know, they do more and more of these, and you know, with great success. So remember Lively tomorrow. Okay, next week, right after service, I'm going to have to run because Paul Kofer, you know, Dr. Paul Kofer, right? He invited me to speak at his church's anniversary that afternoon at 3 o'clock in Philly. So Tommy, Doc, and I are going up. I need a bodyguard, and so we're going up. I'm looking forward to it. Paul pastors a church in the inner city in Philadelphia, and it's going to be a good celebration. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So you can be praying for that also. Pray for the coat giveaway. If it's meant to be, we'll get the people to staff it. If not, God's in charge. I have several other outlets for the coats if that's the case. So we'll take it day by day. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we just want to pray for Lively right now. This young toddler undergoing a scary procedure, Father. We pray for steadiness for the hands of the surgeon, wisdom for the nurses, for the staff that will be in that operating room. We pray for Chrissy, that you would give her a sense of peace, that you're in control and you're controlling the hands of the surgeon. We pray that all goes well, we have a good outcome here, and that this young baby, Father, excuse me, we grow up to come and live a great life and to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, we put Lively into your hands and we will trust you with the outcome. I pray also, Father, for our country. I pray, Father, that those in leadership would really start to look to you and your word for wisdom and guidance, I pray that, Father, you bring this country back to its Judeo-Christian roots. Churches need to be opened again. Father, we need church services that center on the person and work of Jesus Christ more than anything else right now. And so, Father, I pray for our nation. I pray for the our churches in this country, that you would send revival and renewal. And, Father, we pray for these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to wait on you now for tithes and offerings, and the ushers will come up. We've been doing a series in Colossians. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn there. If not, it'll be up on the screen. And let me just kind of frame this out again. Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians because bad teaching was starting to come into the church. Particularly was the problem of what's called the Gnostics, those who claimed they had special knowledge of God. And what they did in effect was deny the deity and the humanity of Jesus Christ, and really said that the cross was of no use, that if you wanted to earn your salvation, you had to go through a series of what they call emanations, and Jesus just was one of those series. And that's just pure heresy. By the way, the same heresy is around today, just in different forms. So that's kind of what Paul is doing in this letter. We're going to look at chapter 1, starting at verse 21. Only a few verses today, but help me with my sanity, okay? I am so tired when you have to talk to somebody of calling and never being able to talk to someone. You have that experience? Doc and I were just talking about this. You know, you have something you want to take care of. You call, and you know you got to go. You got to press this button. You got to do this. You get a person on the phone. They say no. You got the wrong department. You got to go here. They switch you to another department, and they say no. This is not the right department. You got to go here. And before you know it, you're spending like 2 hours on a phone over something that could have been solved in 5 minutes, right? It gets maddening, I think, right? We call it progress. And listen, I'm all for technology. I like technology. You know, it has its advantages. But sometimes I think we can hide behind the complications that they cause. Sometimes you just want to talk to a live person, right? Keep it simple. Do you remember the KISS method? Keep it simple, stupid. Right? Sorry, it's not targeted at anybody. But that's the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid. The gospel is one of those things that's very, very simple. It is simple. And listen, the gospel is simple in its presentation. It is simple in what Jesus meant it for. It is deep theologically, but it is simple. What's the gospel in a nutshell? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be what? Saved. Isn't that simple? Right? I mean, but you know, we make things so complicated these days. And Paul wanted to get the simplicity of the gospel across to the Colossians because these Gnostics wanted to come in and put a religious system in that was so complicated you end up scratching your head. You know, what's going on here? You know, this is not what we learned, number one. Number two, you know, why is this so complicated to talk to God? I got to go press emanation A and then B and then C. And you follow? And that's what they were, you know, doing. And it can get maddening in this. The gospel is extremely simple. So the second question I want to hit you with is this. If it's so simple, why aren't we sharing it? If it's so simple, why? And I'm not talking about beating people over the head with it. I'm just saying simply sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And Paul really emphasizes this. And you say, well, okay, I've had no training in how to share it. Yeah, you have. And it wasn't by me. It was by the Holy Spirit. Well, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, look. Paul gives us a great model here for sharing the simple truth of the gospel. Look at verse 21 with me. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. You know what that means? Before I came to Christ, that's who I was. I was an enemy of God. I was alienated. Why? Because of my evil behavior. Well, Pastor, my behavior is not so evil. Yeah, it is. Right? Just go to the Ten Commandments. You can't get very far before you say, oops, I violated them. You know, alienation means entirely separated from God. That's what sin does. It entirely separates us from God. Because of sin and pride, we pursue our own agenda without regard for God. When we pursue agendas without regard for God, then we're in trouble. May I add, maybe that's why we're in trouble as a nation. Because we're pursuing agendas without God. And so, who were you before you met Christ? You know, maybe an alcoholic, a drug addict, maybe you had a bad temper, maybe you had a problem stealing or with greed or whatever. Well, you know, we're all sinners, okay? But sometimes we forget who we were before we met Christ. One of the things I'll never forget, I've shared this before with you, is I visited a couple from, actually from Rutherford. They lived in both Rutherford and Clifton that moved into the area. And we had a lot of things in common. When I was in his home, I saw a picture on his wall of a tenement in Patterson, which is where he grew up. And I said, that's an interesting picture. And he says to me, Pastor, I never want to forget where I came from. In the same way, I had dean of the seminary I went to when I got my master's years ago. He had very thick glass glasses, and he was doing some work for the state of Pennsylvania, which where the seminary was incorporated. And this is years ago now. This is, what, more than 30 years ago. Remember the days of the floppy disk, right? He's working on the computer. He put hours and hours into the work, and he lost it. Something happened, and he lost it. He took his glasses, and he banged them on his desk and shattered the lens in anger, right? So he comes to class. He was our Greek professor. He was a great guy, Greek professor, and this went on for a couple of weeks. I think it was the left lens that was shattered. And, you know, he studying Greek with him and all. And at lunch one day, a couple of weeks later, we all got together. We thought maybe, you know, professors and seminaries don't make a whole lot of money, so we thought we'd chip in for a new pair of glasses. So we asked him to come to lunch with us, and we said, you know, we'd like to pay for a new lens, you know, for your new glasses. And he looked at us and he said, no, boys, God's not done with me yet. I need this as a reminder that I failed. And my anger got the best of me. And I said, wow. You know, and they eventually got it. But, you know, he knew. One, you know, when we weren't born with halos over our head. Anybody here born with halos over their head? Some of us men look like we have halos now, right? But none of us were born with halos. We were all alienated from God by original sin, and we're enemies of God in our minds because of our evil behavior. So one of the things that makes the gospel a little threatening when we share it is that, you know, people have to face the fact that we're rebels against God. And sometimes pride doesn't allow that, right? Not me, you know, I never killed anybody, I never hurt anybody. Well, you maybe never physically killed somebody, but I'm sure you wished them dead on the parkway or something, you know? Jesus says, even if you think it, it's sin. Isn't that what it says here? We were enemies, and we're enemies in your minds. Because where does the behavior start? In your minds. So part of giving your simple presentation, if you want to call it that, or dialogue about sharing the gospel is be honest about who you were before you came to Christ. Right? Not that you're perfect now. We're not perfect. We're still sinners saved by grace. But yet we have to be honest about who we were. And then look at the next verse. Where we see these two words linked together, but now, it's important. But now he, who's he? God, has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. There's a lot going on here, but we have to realize this. We wage war against God. He didn't wage war against us. We wage war, right? That's what original sin does. It wages war against God. But yet God took the initiative to settle the conflict. Can you imagine that? He didn't have to. It's called grace. It's called mercy. God takes the initiative. He sends his son and reconciles us through the cross and the resurrection of Christ. He's saying, let's put an end to the war. I'm providing the solution for your problem. All you need to do is receive him by faith. You understand that? God took the initiative here. A lot of people will say, I found Christ. I would say, and I know it appears like that many times, but I believe Christ pursued them. Christ pursued them, right? Because Paul says, in and of ourselves, we run away from God. That's the nature. We run away from God. So he reconciles us. What does it mean to be reconciled? Forgiven. Made right. Relationships restored, right? Through Christ's physical body. The Gnostics must have been reeling when they heard this because they claimed Christ's body was never physical. Because anything made of matter was evil. That's what they said. Can you imagine that creeping into the church? And by saying that, they denied that Jesus was fully God and fully man. But no, through Christ's physical body, through death, to present you what? Holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. There's another theological word that goes with this, and that's called justification, right? We can stand before God justified because what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Nothing we do. but all of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. It blows my mind that God took the initiative. And reconciliation comes through faith in the personal work of Jesus Christ. Remember the verse that Chip read for you, with you before? For it is by what? Grace you are saved through faith. God's grace, his unmerited favor, needs to be appropriated by what? Faith. Lest anyone should boast. It's not of works. It's a gift from God. Wow. So, Paul's saying, remember who you were before you met Christ. Tell how you came to Christ. That's what he's doing here. But now, I've been reconciled. I have a new life in Christ. I have new purpose in Christ. The old is gone. The old is gone. One of the things that we all struggle with at times is hanging on to stuff that we've confessed, that we know the cross paid for, but yet we somehow don't forgive ourselves. Isn't that true? Sometimes we're harder on ourselves than God is. And that hanging on to that type of that guilt, all right, is damaging. Satan wants you to do that because Satan never wants you to think that you are right with God. He wants to discourage you. He wants to sideline you. He wants to take you out of the game and say, no, see, you thought you were a Christian. Look at what you did. Look, remember what you did 20 years ago? And you say, isn't it funny? You can remember some of the bad stuff, but you can't remember what you had for supper last night, right? You know, and Satan knows that. He's going to try to sideline you. But we have to come back to the truth of the scriptures. He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present us holy in God's sight, without blemish, free from accusation. Wow. You know, I understand that many people feel it's a big deal to get an audience with the Pope, right? I would say to you, it's cosmic to have an audience with God. We can have an audience with God anytime we want as Christ followers because Jesus paved the way. He paved the way. We can go in, Hebrews says, boldly before the throne and receive grace and mercy in time of need. That's more than any human can do. Only God can do that. The fact is, the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we inherit from God eternal life. There's a new movie out, The Eternals. It's supposed to be from Marvel Comics, I think. I don't know if anybody's a Marvel comic fan, but it's supposed to be from Marvel Comics. Listen, nobody's eternal. Well, let me put it to you this way. If you want to really know what being eternal means, you need Jesus Christ. Because that there is life after the grave. And it's a decision we make because where we spend that eternity, if we know Christ, we'll be with him in paradise, right? If we don't know Christ, we will be eternally separated from God in a place the Bible calls hell. With no hope. With no hope. And then we will realize the full benefit of our eternal life when Jesus comes back again. It's amazing. Look at verse 23 with me. Paul has this clause. It gets a little confusing here, and I'll explain it in a minute. It says, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, That clause makes it sound like that your salvation depends on your performance. It doesn't. If you give me the liberty, I did the research in the original language. Here's how it would literally read. If you continue in your faith, and I know you will, not because of anything we do, but because of what God does, I know you will, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard, simple, and that was proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a what? You know what the word for servant is there? Deacon. Diakonos in the original language is deacon, right? And it doesn't mean you have to be a deacon, but it means that we're here. We are saved to serve and to share the gospel. Does that make sense? All right? Our faith is rooted in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our salvation is settled once for all. The moment we trust Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, then our lives will reflect an ongoing relationship with Jesus. That's what this is saying. Our lives ought to reflect that. Are we going to do that 100%? No. But what happens when we fail? We go to God in confession and repentance, right? And then he says, okay, come on, let's learn, and let's go on, right? God is so gracious that way. It is to be proclaimed to everyone. Isn't that what that last phrase says? That has been proclaimed to every creature under the heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. When we remove the gospel from our culture, and we're not talking to people about the simple truth of the gospel, what we're doing is we're taking any hope and removing it from the culture. Churches have been silent too long. And I'm not talking about being political here. I'm talking about with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been silent too long. Well, you know, Pastor, I don't have the degrees you have. It doesn't matter. It's very simple. Tell people who you were before you met Christ. Tell them what happened when you met Christ. And then tell them, this is for you. All you need to do is accept him as Lord and Savior. Sometimes we make it too complicated. You know, years ago, and it worked at the time, James Kennedy, who was a great preacher, by the way, put out a thing called Evangelism Explosion. And what it did was train people to ask key questions. You know, if you were to die today, where would you go, heaven or hell? And that was a key question. The problem with that today is that many people don't even believe in heaven and hell anymore. So we're kind of asking the wrong questions if we keep doing that. The better question now is, you know, don't you realize God loves you? Well, I don't think there is a God. Doesn't matter. He still loves you. You see where I'm going? Doesn't matter. You can think he doesn't exist, but he still loves you. Well, how do you know he loves me? Well, he sent his son to die for you. Really? Nah, it's just a myth. Well, consult the history books. Because the cross and the resurrection is the most documented event in history. Would you do that? And you know, and you can ask the right questions. God will give you the wisdom to do it, but you ask it gently and in love. And you ask it with full respect. But we need to be talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, how fitting that we come to the Lord's table. As we come to communion, communion is a place for imperfect Christians. Is there any Christian here not imperfect? I mean, who's perfect? I could put it that way. Any Christian here who's perfect? Thank you for your honesty. There's no perfect Christian. There's no super Christian, right? The Lord's table is a place for imperfect Christians. It's a place where Christ followers can come and examine themselves and come clean before God. We need to do this. Let the Spirit of God bring to remembrance specific sin that you and I need to confess. Let the Word of God bring to remembrance specific sin. The Holy Spirit will prod us. And then we come with confession and repentance to come clean before God and have communion with Him. And this is made possible through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so the Lord's table is a commemoration of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. The one who came to pay the penalty for the war we started with God. For one that gave his all so we may be presented holy and blameless. I'm going to ask the men if they would pass out the bread. Now, we do have communion cup kits. If you don't want to touch, you know, if you still feel funny about taking the bread with your fingers, well, they'll give it to you. But if you want the sealed cup, you can take advantage of that too. And I'm going to ask you to hold the bread or the sealed cup until I speak again, okay? So, guys, would you bring it? Pass it out. For those of you who have the sealed cups, if you peel the top off with the bread, in it. You can take that, and we'll partake of the bread in a second. But, you know, the night that Jesus was betrayed by Judas, he used the Last Supper as an example, an illustration of what was going to happen at the cross. So he took the bread, probably matzah, just like this, and he broke it, and they shared it, and he said this to them, his disciples. This is a symbol of his body, his physical body, that was going to be broken for them. I don't know if they quite got it at that point yet. But what Jesus was saying was that he was fully God and fully man. And he comes as our substitute to pay our penalty on the cross because he loves us. He says, when you take this and eat of it, think of him. Would you eat, please? I'll ask that the cup be distributed. Would you hold a cup and we'll partake together? Bible says without the blood of a perfect sacrifice, there could be no remission of sin. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. And he chose out of love to shed his blood so your sin and mine could be forgiven once for all. This is a sacrifice that never has to be repeated again. But you know how we need to sometimes remember who we were before we met Christ? Sometimes we have to remember what he did for us. And he says, when you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of him. Would you drink, please? We're going to wait upon you now for the benevolence fund. Benevolence fund is used to help those in need. When we substantiate the need. Keep it simple. Can I get an amen? Amen? Keep it simple. I'm leaving out the last word. Would you stand and give God the praise, please?